WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's Place to Talk.
Hip hip hooray, let's give a cheer. It's 9 a.m., the signal's clear. Our favorite host is in the chair. The Truman Show is on the air.
It's the Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
The Truman Show is on the air. The Truman Show is on the air.
Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County, on this Christmas Eve morning. I hope everybody's in good spirits. Got two of my best buds on today. And before I get them on, I want to let you know that Metal Max Roofing and Siding is located at 900 Captain Joe Fulgham Drive, and that's just off Middle Tennessee Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro. Metal roofs are not only beautiful, but they're resistant to wind damage, roof rust, and some are less expensive than asphalt shingles. They offer factory direct pricing, so you can buy your roofing and siding materials straight from the manufacturer without the middleman. Go by and see their friendly staff today and let them show you over 20 different colors of Metal Max roofing and siding. Give them a call today at 494-1693, 494-1693. Pull them up on the website www.metalmax.com. And I would say during this time of season, if Santa were to land on your roof, you want it to be substantial, but you also want you to be, you know, if it's raining or something like that, oh, the beautiful sounds that's going on.
Or snowing.
And snowing, which it is right now.
Got a few flurries.
Yeah, it's seasonal, I would say. And hopefully, you know, I'm not a snow person. I really don't like snow. But this time of year is special because it brings back a lot of old memories for each and every one of us when we were kids. And
well, you brought your sled this morning. I thought you were thinking there was going to snow a little more.
I did. I actually was pulling it in the back of my car because I was really hopeful. I mean, sometimes you just go crazy during this time of year, and I think I'm in there right now. And we have, to my far right, Judge Ben Hall McFarland, Jr.,
Morning, cuz.
Morning, cuz. And we are cousins. My grandmother was a McFarland, and I'm very proud of that. Very genteel, great bunch of people. And then I have Mr. David Lowry, General Sessions Judge also, and one of my best friends, a man who actually helped me erect a fence behind my house years ago. And, of course, as you remember, the wood had already hardened, and most of the nails ended up in the middle of the street.
Almost lost an eye with that one.
Yes, you did. And I told you at the time I had good insurance, so I really appreciate it. Nobody ever saw you do any manual labor until that day, and you were already judged.
But Matthew Royal was there. He saw it.
Yeah. Well, of course, we had to have a guru, and he was the only one out of the whole bunch that knew what he was doing.
So he was a stupidvisor?
Yeah. and you know, I still miss him. There are some people that just hang with you no matter what. And I never will forget the very first day he turned 55 years old. I laughed and teased him and cut up, and we had a big time. And at that time, we were trying to get a lunch group together, and then the first one go, we'd put his chair up, and then as it went around, and we'd put money in the pot, then the last one standing would get the money. So it's kind of morbid, but that's just the way we were. Now, David has got something. I want us to try to stay in the holiday spirit as much as we can, because I know you guys have had some really, really great holidays and family memories. But David, Judge Lowry, you just brought a book with you. It's called Coup, C-O-U-P, and it's written by Kiel Hunt. And this has to be one of the more fascinating books that people can pick up.
Yeah, it's by Vanderbilt Press. It's a 2013 book by Kiel Hunt, and it delineates the time when we had a Democratic governor, Blanton.
Let's get this call first. How about that? We got a caller on the line. We got to put our earphones on. I don't like for anybody to wait on Christmas Eve. I know they got a lot going on. We're just cooling it. Caller, welcome aboard.
Good morning, Truman.
Good morning.
This is Natalie Lawrence, and I just...
morning, try to call in and wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
That's sweet of you, Nettie, and the same to you. I hope everything goes well for you over the holidays, hon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. All right, let's get the coup.
The coup, yeah. It delineates when Governor Blanton was at the end of his term, and he was going to pardon a number of people, and it came apparent from the FBI and investigations that he was selling pardons. Mm-hmm. And a lot of stuff was going on, and he had his lawyer, who was T. Edward Sisk, was his attorney, which was arrested, and they arrested a lieutenant highway patrolman that worked in the governor's office, but they really didn't arrest the governor. But the book is really about them putting in, about 4 days early, Lamar Alexander became governor a little earlier than expected.
Right.
And the book is, it starts out with a friend of mine, Jack Lowry, a lawyer from Lebanon, and almost in the first two pages, Lebanon and Mercer are in this book. It's pretty amazing. So anybody interested in politics or history, and a lot of people are interviewed for this book, I think it's something that they'd like to read. It's make a great Christmas present or birthday present.
And most of the names in there, all of us in this room remember very, very well and knew a lot of them personally. And it really is. It, when you want to think about the history of the state of Tennessee, you can go right to this book. And another one, a complimentary book of this, is The Hopewell Box.
Yes, The Secrets of the Hopewell Box.
Yeah.
Oh, great book.
And if anybody can get a hold of those two books, it will keep you absolutely on track with it all the way through the book. You just can't put the book down. All right, guys.
So in the Christmas spirit, we say Jack Lowry. You know, Dave and I practiced law many years before we became judges.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did.
I practiced 25 years. Jack Lowry and I had a divorce against each other.
And I didn't know you guys were married.
Yeah. So his client was the woman, and I represented the man. And the woman, while they were still married but separated, had gone down to Talladega to the race with her boyfriend.
Uh-oh.
And came back in one of those plates with her name and the boyfriend's name on the front of the car. So my client took exception to that. When he saw it, he pulled out his pistol and put several rounds through that plate in the front of the car. So we not only had a divorce to fight about, we had a criminal case. So,
well, was he a pretty good shot, evidently?
Oh, yeah, he messed up that plate. He splintered it pretty good. So you Jack know, and I were fighting over all that.
We were talking a little bit about law, and Royce Taylor, of course, our circuit judge, one of our circuit judges, we got all over the place yesterday, as we will sometimes. And there are some names, attorneys' names, as you guys know, that people will throw out, and then automatically it's like a weapon. You know, I've got Steve Waldron's name. I've got him representing me. And then all of a sudden the other guy says, uh-oh, you know. Do you guys see a lot of that in your courtroom where you have the really named lawyers who are very well equipped to walk into a courtroom and pretty much take over? How do you handle those type things? Because I know that as Royce and I were talking about, all doctors are not equal, all lawyers are not equal, and you always want the best one representing you in those particular incidents.
That's up to us to level the playing field.
Right.
I think it's a pretty good story. I hope your listeners will. When I was practicing, I filed a lawsuit with a classmate of ours, Randy Wiggs. We filed a suit for Tex Cobb.
Mm-hmm.
Sports Illustrated.
Remember him well.
Ran an article, and they just slandered and libeled him. They just really cut him down. Accused him of Tex Cobb of fixing a fight when he's trying to come back. So we filed a federal lawsuit, sued Sports Illustrated, $80 million in federal court. And we had a pretrial conference to try to settle it.
Mm-hmm.
And in this pretrial conference, that's where if you're going to settle it, the judges tell you, everybody have your best offer, have your client there, be ready to settle. Mm-hmm. So Randy and I walk into this federal conference room, just the two of us, and sit on one side of this real long table. Sports Illustrated sends about four or five guys down, expensive briefcases, expensive suits, you know, mm-hmm. high-powered New York lawyers. Mm-hmm. And Randy and I sitting there kind of sweating at each other. Well, the pretrial conference judge was Judge Tom Wiseman.
Ah.
And he comes in, and as you know, he was involved in state politics, ran for governor
yes.
once. Mm-hmm. And he happened to have been familiar with my father through the state politics. So we're all sitting there. Judge Wiseman comes in, looks at us, looks at them, sizes it up immediately, puts his hand out to me, shakes me. Well, Mr. McFarland, good to see you. You know, I remember your father. He did so much for this, this, and this. And those New York lawyers started looking
We've
at each other.
Had.
Yeah, like, uh-oh. All he did,
I love that.
All he did was level the playing field.
Yes.
He told the New York lawyers they were not going to take control.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't show me any favoritism at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
But he sent a message to them, this is a level playing field, boys. I always appreciated that.
Tex Cobb was an interesting character, wasn't he?
He was.
He came back, just rugged-looking guy and heavyweight, and he was tough. He was the best fighter in the world, but he was tough.
He was fighting, I forgot who it was, but you remember Howard Cosell
yes.
stopped announcing? And it's because whoever Tex was fighting, Tex got beat up so bad, he took the punches and wouldn't fall down, and that's when Howard Cosell stopped announcing boxing because of the
that's
beating Tex Cobb took. Yep.
That's amazing. I remember Howard Cosell more for announcing fights, especially Ali Frazier. I guess that was the big
was the
one
best,
for him.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, and of course, the Monday Night Football, he was really out of his realm in Monday Night Football. You could tell that there was a little bit of coolness between him and the real announcers.
Well,
at
the and time. Dandy Don.
Yeah, Dandy Don. Mary. What is it? Turn out the lights, the party's over. Ah, I miss all that good stuff. Oh, tell me about Lowry Christmases, because both of you guys have a lot of deep roots right here in Rutherford County. I know the Lowry's from over there around the Las Casas area. Your dad was in banking, and your brother's in banking. You kind of fled the coop and went into law. Tell me a little bit about the family, because it's one of the more fascinating families that's been here.
Well, we always been in Ed and Andrea's house. They live on the square now, so
yeah.
We always have an annual get-together, and we meet at the Methodist Church at 4 o'clock, and they have a candlelight service,
mm-hmm.
and it's geared towards children. So mm-hmm. all the grandchildren and children come, and the whole family, we meet, and it all ends up with the singing, and the minister, Brother O'Bannon usually ends up dressing up like a shepherd or somebody.
And oh, right.
And all the kids love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he'll come out and he'll talk about seeing a star and seeing three wise men. But and then we go to Ed and Andrew's and we have dinner and we open up our presents for Christmas Eve. And then on Christmas Day, a lot of the kids, they have in-laws to go see or grandparents
yeah.
to go see. So
yeah.
So that's kind of what they do. And then I go to my niece's house, Lady Hamilton's house, and she's got three girls, and we see what Santa Claus brought and everything. So that's how Christmas Day goes. So we all get together and just enjoy each other.
Is it right? Is it true that the rumor is going out that Ed is going to open up a restaurant on the bottom floor? I mean, he's got a great location. You think about it. The old time Murfreesboro, and there he is right in the middle of it.
He said, got room for a bed and breakfast there, too, if they went through there.
Hey, there you go, Ben.
Yeah, bed and breakfast on the square.
Yeah, they can take off and go to Florida in the winter and then put their bed and breakfast up.
I think he's retired.
and bless his heart, he's still riding that motorcycle. I can't believe it. Who would have ever thought that Ed Lowry would end up on a motorcycle traveling all over the world?
He loves his Jeep now. He's a Jeep guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a silver Jeep. That's what that's his car of choice. So that's.
Are you going to get on the bandwagon to talk to Mo Brown and have her open that store up? Monday through Friday at around lunchtime, so all the old hands. I know a lot of us are gone, but there's still enough of us around.
You did talk to Mo Brown. You know,
I did talk to Mo Brown.
You need to talk to her because I don't think she's opening up a store anymore.
It would require work, wouldn't it?
It would require a lot of work.
Is that what Maynard G. Krebs used to say?
Work. Yeah. Work.
What?
That's a four-letter word, as they say.
It was. It still is. All right, Ben. I know there's a lot of history with the McFarlanes. I go all the way back to your granddaddy. Remember him? Yep. And it's what a great, great family.
We were all blessed. And it,
yes.
The old days of Murfreesboro and Rutherford County, we all family meant something. You remember when you're growing up and you'd meet somebody, and they'd say, "Now who's your daddy?
Yeah.
Who's
yep.
your granddaddy?
Oh yes.
Remember that? I mean,
oh,
that
yeah.
just you heard that all the time. Now who's your daddy? Who's your granddaddy? And the family names. That put responsibility on us to continue a good name.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Kind of like the old China used to be in Chinatown when nobody would be in trouble in the old days, you know, if we had all the gangs and everything. But, you know, family name meant something. You're right. Part of the Southern tradition, I think. But we'd go to my grandparents, McFarlane's, mm-hmm. Christmas Eve today. We'd be headed there right now. And it was always a big deal and a big meal. And my grandfather, they always have homemade boiled custard.
Oh, yes.
And then the flavoring, we had the two types. It was the vanilla and the Jack Daniels.
Yeah, and Jack Daniels primarily
and
was
we
from
don't,
the guys.
We don't drink in our family.
Yeah.
But flavoring's okay.
Yeah.
And my grandfather kind of had these shaky hands, you remember?
Mm. Oh, yes.
Kind of a palsy kind of thing.
Yes.
And when he put that spoon up to put the Jack Daniels in his boiled custard, it's like, why did you even have the spoon there? You know, that whiskey was going all over the place. And he'd have a pretty good helping of it.
Well, of course, my grandmother was McFarlane.
Yeah.
And married to Sam Jones.
Yep.
And Mama Jones did not like to have any drinks in the house at all. She would not allow it. And everybody was pretty much teetotalers that thought.
Yep.
But the guys would bring it in the trunks. And... That's how they would not lace, but to add a little flavoring into the drink, the boiled custard or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, it's things like that really burn in your mind, and you
they
never
do.
Forget. Let's get this caller on the line, and then we'll go back.
Okay.
To that.
Yeah.
Caller, welcome aboard with Judge Ben Hall McFarland and Judge David Lowry.
Hey Truman, this is Ted.
Hey Ted.
Ted Beach.
Yes.
I want to wish you and the judges up there a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I want you to know that y'all are doing a great job, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you, Ted, and I appreciate you. You've been a good friend for a lot of years.
Well, it's been a long time, and I get great enjoyment out of listening to your show, Truman. And you got it one of the best things we've ever had in this town, as far as I'm concerned. Those two judges up there, you tell them I think they're doing a wonderful job, and I love them both.
Hey,
thank
Ted,
you,
I don't want to thank you for serving on city council those years, so you, your public service as well.
Absolutely. That's a hard job. And Ted, I'm glad you got over that shyness problem you had.
Hey, I appreciate you, Ben.
Okay.
Y'all have a good year.
You too, Ted.
I'll get out of here for Florida for a while, so I'll see you come spring.
All right. You take it easy. Live the good life down there, Ted.
Yeah, I will.
All right.
Now.
All right. We'll see you. Bye-bye. He's a great guy. Oh,
he
love
is.
Ted.
I never think about Ted Beach. And he always tell the story. And Ted would say, you were on city council? I said, yeah. He said, what happened? He said, illness. And he says, illness? Yeah, the people got sick of me and they voted me off.
We're in the same boat, Ted.
All right,
we're back to the fam again.
So, and then my grandfather's favorite cake was coconut.
Mm.
And so my grandmother would make the coconut. But it wasn't these little, I don't know, what you call them, slices or slivers on there. Mm-hmm. She'd take a whole coconut and then like a cheese grater and grate those big chunks of coconut on top of it.
Isn't that something?
And yeah, you get a real solid taste of coconut then.
You know, I still remember Ms. Windrow, who had Windrow's store.
Yeah.
Would bake me a coconut cake every Christmas and bring it down there.
Wow.
At the jail. It's amazing Ooh. How it would become a center when Christmas is going on. People would bring all types of goodies and really in their appreciation for the people that were working down there. And, and you know, it's great to have those type of relationships. And I know you two guys remember the old jail. And... Hey, don't laugh. That is still fond memories for me. I mean, it was archaic. It was overcrowded.
It was.
But it was in the center, what I call, of all the action going on.
Yeah, but it had an odor about it.
Well, are you talking about
the whole jail.
Salad being cooked in there or what?
I'm talking everything. It had just, I mean, I can still smell it to this day. The old jail, you know, after you abandoned the old jail, I took it over to the juvenile detention center. And we never could get the plumbing straight. I mean, it was a nightmare. That place was, of course, it's torn down now. But
up with prisoners where there's no air conditioning.
No.
You go visit your clients in
no.
the summer,
mm-hmm.
and you just
the
everybody
heat was
be
very
dripping.
Minimal also. And I can remember one particular guy that we've had in, and sent him to the penitentiary a number of times, but he had a large family. I think there was about 8 or 9 kids, young kids. The wife, they would come in barefooted, and we would let them bring in food on Sundays during that time. And that was the visitation day, was on Sunday.
Yeah.
And they would have two of these little booths. One would be on one side, one on the other, no contact whatsoever. And she would always bring him the nicest plate of food that you've ever seen. And you could look at those kids. You could tell they weren't getting the best nourishment in the world and didn't have the best clothes. And they would sit in there, and as you remember, in the summertime, it was so hot up there, they would literally be standing in pools of sweat at that time. And yep. I've always thought about the thought process that went into some of the people that would come in there. But even at that, we tried to make Christmas as good as possible, I guess, in those type situations. And, you know, Christmas is a special time, and everybody's hearts do change a little bit. Some have Grinch hearts, but they they have a way of growing as the holiday gets into its spirit. And I never will forget, the preachers used to come up and visit on a particular night, and they would be all locked in there with the prisoners, but they would still be separated from them, the bars between them and the preachers. One night, we forgot them, that we had them in there.
Oh, my goodness.
Those poor guys were up there for 3 hours. And I presume they were all getting on each other's nerves by then. But, the good memories.
They are.
Yeah, yeah. Now, your daddy, Ben, was one of the nicest, easiest going people I have ever known in my life. And I was telling somebody one day, I was up there and I was visiting him in his office and just having a nice, good conversation. The governor called. And he was talking to the governor just like you and I are talking about, best buddies in the whole world, and making things simple, easy to work out. And I think sometimes with the it seems like that people, once they get cross with somebody and they have different opinions, it becomes more angry than anything I've ever seen before. Because years ago, when they had problems, they would work it out over a cup of coffee or whatever and do it in a more graceful way than what's done now. Do you guys ever miss that?
Yeah, I do. You know, when Dave and I were in law school, of course, you know, Dave and I started law school the same day, finished the same day in the same study group, just worked out that way. And then we were hearing stories even in law school how lawyers would go and fight and yell and scream at each other in court, and then afterwards go have a cup of coffee.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
And so we were kind of prepared to that when we came back out, weren't we, David? And then that's the way it used to be in our legislative process. Mm-hmm. They would kind of have their positions and do all that, and then after the vote in the legislatures, then they would go be friends, or some of them were actually really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're missing it now. It seems like they disagree and they really don't like each other, and they aren't trying to like each other. I think you have a very valid point.
Yeah. We're going to take
And all the citizens, we're all suffering from that.
Yes, we are. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Judge Ben Hall McFarland Jr. and Judge David Lowry.
GPS Refurbishing, Middle Tennessee's metal refurbishing and coating experts since 1985. GPS Refurbishing can bring new life to your old, worn-out, even damaged metal treasures using our proven metal refurbishing processes, including powder coating. This process bakes on vivid, durable colors and is much better than wet spray paints. Bring antiques, outdoor and pool furniture, wheels, tools, farm equipment, toys, metal shelving, trailers, aluminum boats, and more back to life. GPS Refurbishing, 895-0816. GPS Refurbishing, 810 Old Salem Highway, just off Middle Tennessee Boulevard.
When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help you devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs.
Hi, I'm Laura Kendrick. I'm the finance manager here. One of the most rewarding things about my job is I get to be in contact with the home care aides that we have. They have a real heart for our clients.
Everybody needs a little help now and then, and At Home Care is here to help.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Tuning. I'm the HR manager at Home Care. We at Home Care want to hire the best health care aides for those who really want to stay in their homes. We want people who care and go over, above, and beyond. We do back ground checks to make sure that we do have the best. We stress that it's a heart that matters and that the people depend on them for their needs. Some of our clients have no one else and may be their only contact for the day.
Find out more at homecaretn.com or by calling 713-4639.
Bud's Tire Pros is part of the nation's premier network of independent, locally owned and operated tire dealers. You'll get reliable service and better prices in addition to great brands like Michelin and BF Goodrich tires through their exclusive promotions and rebates you won't find anywhere else. All tires and automotive service, including brakes and alignments, are backed by the nationwide warranty, including free roadside assistance with every purchase. For local service you can trust, visit Bud's Tire Pros, located in Murfreesboro, or call 896-TIRE. That's 896-8473.
The ultimate stocking stuffer. I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. For more than 35 years, St. Thomas Health has spread Christmas cheer by presenting infants born this time of year to their new parents in bright red oversized Christmas stockings. Well, during this Christmas time, babies born at St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital are sent home with the stockings, specially embroidered with the hospital's logo. You can check out a photo of all the little babies and their Christmas stockings on our website, WGNSradio.com. Flu numbers in Middle Tennessee are spiking. Dr. William Schaffner from Vanderbilt University Medical Center says there are 50 confirmed cases so far this season, including 20 new cases from the weekend. Experts say the best way for Rutherford Countyans to protect themselves from the flu? It's easy. Get a flu shot. Free Christmas tree disposal available in Laverne starting on Thursday. Officials say trees will be accepted through Tuesday at the parking lot next to the Public Works Department. All trees must have ornaments and decorations removed. To help make sure everybody has a safe ride home, AAA and Bud Light are offering the Tow to Go program for the holidays. Now, the program is designed to help discourage anybody from getting behind the wheel if they're intoxicated. Anybody, AAA member or not, can call for a tow-to-go ride through January 1st. You'll find the number on our website, WGNSradio.com. But play nice. In North and South Carolina, AAA had to cancel a similar program called Tipsy Tow. Instead of using it as a lifeline to prevent drug driving, people use it as a taxi service to get from one holiday party to another. I'm Ron Jordan. This is WGNS News.
Brought to you by
Chester Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad, across from the Chevy dealer.
Hi, I'm Dr. Christine Allen. If you think you've tried everything for your chronic pain, I want to help. Give me a call at 895-1253 for a free consultation.
That update brought to you by Kohl's Department Store. You know, it's the last weekend to shop before Christmas. Kohl's is staying open nonstop 24 hours a day from 6 a.m. Friday through 6 p.m. Tuesday right here in Murfreesboro. Kohl's, expect great things 24 hours a day.
Weather Eye.
Mostly sunny skies this afternoon, a high in the lower 30s and northwest winds between 5 and 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 18. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 27.
Premier 6 Theater on Broad and Jackson Heights, showing all of your favorite movies. Call their hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Popcorn pop fresh daily. Their movie hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Premier 6 on Broad and Jackson Heights.
Merry Christmas from all of us at WGNS.
Don't forget, coming up after the Truman Show this morning, WGNS and Allstate Thomas Insurance Group in Smyrna present Christmas music. That's right after the Truman Show here this morning.
This is John Thomas with Allstate Insurance, Thomas Insurance Group in Smyrna. We would like to wish you a Merry Christmas, and we're proud to be the exclusive sponsor of Christmas music here on WGNS this holiday season.
We'll have the music until 8 o'clock tomorrow night, so enjoy that as you're wrapping presents and enjoying food here on this Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Presented by John Thomas and Allstate Thomas Insurance Group. Right after the Truman Show, we turn to our Christmas music, but right now we turn back to Truman Jones.
Turn your fingers into a microphone and talk back. WGNSradio.com is Rutherford County's online source for what matters to you. WGNSradio.com. The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back with our two judges this morning, Judge David Lowry and Judge Ben Hall McFarland Jr. And this part of the show is brought to you by Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat. And I'm suffering this morning, I can tell you that. But there's a way to restore your hearing and everything else that's going on wrong. You need to give Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat a call today. And it has been Rutherford County's trusted provider of taking care of all the coughing, sneezing, stuffed up feelings for almost two decades. Their team of caring physicians, audiologists, nurses, and administrators are standing ready for you and your family so you can improve your style of healthy living. They also have a mobile hearing unit that will actually come to your home, diagnose, and fit you with a hearing device right in the comfort of your living room. Call Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat today, 848-9265, 848-9265. And it's that time of year, then we all start suffering. And we have another caller on the line, guys. So.
Very good.
Caller, welcome aboard with Ben and David.
All of my life, I've been wanting me two judges. Okay, I think I caught the last of the last caller with you. Were y'all saying we have some type of problem in America?
We might have a couple.
Let me tell you, let me warn you guys, I tell them every day in Nashville on my show, until we get God back into this thing, we're done.
You're exactly right.
We're done.
You hit it.
I don't care how much money you come up with. I don't care how poor you get. I don't care how bad you think of your neighbor. Until somebody take a stand for God, we are doomed.
Well, you and I grew up, all of us in
That's
here,
right.
when we went to church on
That's
Sundays.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Until, you know what? It's a shame that I deal with church daily, Sunday, every Sunday. These children, I've never seen a generation so lost in my. I thought we were lost, Truman. The hippies, yeah. I thought we were lost.
Oh, no, we were in sunshine.
I'm trying to tell you, because we should have stopped the Vietnam War. But the kids nowadays, they don't have a clue about nothing and don't care. But you know what they done turned that jail into? A motel.
Yeah.
Hello, Truth.
I know.
Y'all have a good day, gentlemen.
You too, Casey. You have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Casey. Right. Good talk to you.
I think that's the sentiment of a lot of people, especially, I guess, in our generation more than any other. It was a way of life for us. And grace and loving your neighbor and treating everybody like family is something that maybe we only recreate during this time of season. And that's a shame. I wished we had it 365 days a year and 366 in leap year. Now, I know that all of our families, in fact, I've known you guys ever since I was young. Of course, I'm a little bit older than you guys. But I've never considered you guys anything but family. And there's a lot of people that we all feel that way about, especially when we grew up.
It's community family.
In a way, we've kind of lost the deep roots that we've had. We're still there. We're amongst it all. But there's something that's satisfying to know that you have that long history of family.
I appreciate Casey. You know, Casey's a great guitar player.
Oh, yeah. Got a great band.
And he's kin to Shondell Clark, you know, Murfreesboro police officer.
Now, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's the first I've heard of
Casey
that.
Clark. Yeah, they're yeah. Shondell is a character, and so's Casey. So, both good people, very good people.
Well, we've got a lot going on right now, guys. I know General Sessions, people probably do not, when you talk about General Sessions, you talk about Circuit and all the other judges, maybe people do not understand what we're looking at, your responsibilities. So kind of give us a little bit of a background on what you guys have to take, you're responsible for, and then how it relates from you guys.
General Sessions Court is one of the lower courts, obviously. Circuit Court is considered a state court. General Sessions Court considered a county court. We're countywide, Judge McFarland, Judge Brandon, and myself. Judge McFarland and I, I'm part two and he's part one, and so we sort of handle the criminal aspect of it. And Judge Brandon is part three and he handles the probate and civil side of General Sessions Court. So I guess we're kind of what we call the people's court. You can come to our court, you don't have to have lawyers or be represented and stuff like that. You can represent yourself, and it's more of a simplistic court. And since we don't have a small claims court, that's what Judge Brandon runs. Anything under $25,000, Judge Brandon can handle. So people go there for detainer actions to get people out of their apartments or rental houses, or they go there for small car wrecks or small damage court. So basically, that's what General Sessions Court is. It's a countywide court. Our circuit courts is composed of two counties, and that's Rutherford and Canning County, and that's considered a statewide, or we call it a court of record. So I know a lot of people don't understand what the judges do. I always tell people a judge is a judge is a judge as far as the public's concerned, but we have different jurisdictions do different things. So
basically, in Sessions, we don't have any jury trials. That's another distinction. On our criminal part of it, David and I handle misdemeanors, mostly punishment up to 11 months, 29 days max. Anything over that goes up for jury trials in the circuit court. And with David and I, David was on board when I was there, but he didn't do criminal then. So when I came on board, we both started swapping up and both do criminal. And it was our goal to handle all we could handle on the criminal cases in Sessions. And because they're big numbers, we'll have 250, 300 cases a day. That's just an average day for us. So we'll handle those. And then we handle all we can. Now, people have a right to go to circuit, and we don't try to discourage them from doing that. But if they can, if we can handle it, we'll handle it. And then that frees up the circuit courts to handle the murders, the rapers, the robbers, the drug dealers, the people that break in houses. And they get to spend more time on the more serious cases. We'll even, like, for example, on a misdemeanor theft, the cutoff point for that's $500. If it's over $500, it's a felony. If someone wants to plead guilty, like to $1,500, $2,000 theft, we'll let them do it. Still get the same restitution for the victim, and it, they get to reduce it from a felony to a misdemeanor. The victim gets the money quicker, and you know, the trade-off there is that. And then felonies, then that frees up the circuit court for the, like I said, the murders, the rapers, the robbers.
All felonies have to go to circuit, right? If they, if there's enough show cause there.
That's right. And so there was a time, I think our circuit now can give a trial quicker than any circuit in the state. They used to be able to give jury trials within 3-4 months, and that's basically unheard of. Some of these big districts in Nashville or Memphis, you wait a year, year and a half before people can go to trial, maybe 2 years.
Do you do much working with the district attorneys prior to the their client going to court if there's something that could be worked out on both sides with the prosecutor and the defense, or is that mostly just in circuit now?
Way I would answer that, and David will need to chime in too. David and I more or less set up parameters with the DA of what we think are acceptable penalties for certain crimes. Like if it's an if there is such thing as an average DUI, this is what we will accept. And then if it's worse, then they need to get more. If it's if there's some mitigating circumstances, it needs to be less. So, but David and I are on board with them about what basically to treat everybody fairly and equally, what basically people get as punishment for those. And then once they know the parameters, then they go in and work the cases out and present them to us. What do you want to add to that, David?
No, I think we have a good relationship with the DA's office. And we have 3 to 4 DAs that work the courts down at General Sessions, and that's all they do. They're Monday through Friday, 5 days a week. We have cases and hearings. And they do a very good job because, like Ben quoted, I mean, a small docket's 250, 300 now. Our dockets are large, and it's always amazing. I mean, how many people show up, and the hallways are full, and the courtrooms are full, I think they do a very good job. Bill White's on his office.
They really did do
a great job. Yeah. Bill's always done a great job, and they've always tried to help us make the courts work smoother. And you know, of course, our goal is to treat everybody fairly and the same, and not have people sit there all day and have nothing happen. So we really try to move those dockets and make it work as smooth as we can.
One of the more complicated things over the years has been the bonding system, because people get aggravated because someone's out on bond in just a few minutes after they committed a crime. And of course, you guys are over the judicial commissioners, and they do a great job, and they have for a long, long time. And are all the bonds now, I know it's under you guys, but are the bonds, most of them have already a set amount, and they're shaking their heads at me, so I'm on shaky land right now.
No, it's a great question.
Tell me how you set that up.
In the old days, there used to be a list that said if this is the offense, then this is probably the most likely bond.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out you're not supposed to do that, so we threw the list away.
Okay.
There a couple of lawsuits were filed, mm-hmm. and we went to the statute, and you're really not supposed to do that. So all those lists for many, many years have been shredded, burned, history. That's okay. Why I don't even mention.
Yeah.
And there's a statute that mentions if someone's been arrested, well, first you're supposed to, if you can release them just with a citation or on their mm-hmm. own recognizance, that's what you're supposed to do. It's by statute. It's the law.
Right.
It's not what I like or you like.
Right.
And but then a lot of them, you know, that's not going to cut it, so they have to have a bond set. And then they look at how long they've lived in the community, what mm-hmm. the ties are of the community, do they have a job? And you go through those about seven or eight things that the judicial commissioners you mentioned
right.
do a great job. And then mm-hmm. they determine, based on those things, what would be an appropriate bond. Like if somebody's just traveling through and has no family, mm-hmm. they're going to have a higher bond than somebody who's been here three generations and has a good job and owns a house.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes sense when you think about it.
So the bond mm-hmm. is based, at least one thing is, will that person show up in court, and would it be very difficult to locate them if they don't show up in court?
Absolutely. And then the other part is the seriousness of the crime and likelihood of conviction. Mm-hmm. So if it's a more serious crime and it looks like the judicial commissioner, they have a pretty strong case, that factors in too.
All right. What about the safety of the victim?
That's one of the things in the statute too.
That's always been a big one.
And yep.
We have seen things happen over the years where it got worse after they got out. And it's one of those things, just like Judge and I, Royce Taylor and I were talking about yesterday, about domestic violence and those type of things. You have the paperwork there. You work through it, but how is a piece of paper going to protect you when somebody wants to get to you when they're out of jail?
It's not.
That's amazing. Casey called a minute ago and talked about, you know, the toughness of jails and everything. It was a different time at the old jail, especially, I want to tell you about Christmas. I can remember some Christmases when we would only have one or two people in jail. And they were the people that would be the more serious risk for escape or had committed a serious crime like murder, rape, those type statutes. But I can remember we would actually let the prisoners out for Christmas, and then they would come back afterwards. And you think about doing that now? Oh, my God.
So there's 800 out there now at the jail.
I'm sure there's that many. If you take the workhouse and jail together, it probably got 1,000 or more.
Yeah, I wouldn't be 250.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. But it was a different mentality back then. I don't know, but I can tell you, almost everybody that went through the jail at that time, I knew them and their family probably. So that tells you how we've changed over the years. It's unbelievable. So what are y'all doing for Christmas? And David's already mentioned he's going over to Andrea's house.
That's right.
Yeah.
Going to my sister, Ginger Lowry.
Oh, yes.
She is the sweetest. I'll be going there from here, and that's when our family gets together.
I still miss Jerry. Oh, I still miss him. Well, we're going over to my niece's house, Leanne, my brother's daughter, and then we're going to have the bunch, and all of my kids are going to be there. Jackie and I are going to be there, so it's going to be a really good time. There's something, I still get that warm feeling when I go in, and there's all family there, and you've known each other for almost your whole life, except for the young ones, and they've known us forever. And it's just something about sharing the time, and we'll talk about Mom and Daddy and our grandparents, and we relive out all the things that we've done, and I know you do the same thing.
It makes it all special. Remember the good times.
Is anybody having boiled custard? And
yes.
Yeah, Ginger makes boiled custard each time. My grandmother Black, she used my grandmother Black's recipe for boiled custard. Because that's we'd visit the McFarlands, then we'd go to the Blacks and visit my grandmother.
Now, what is the
Black
relation?
And Virginia Woodfin.
With the Woodfins.
Yeah.
That's through the Black family.
That's right. My mother and Virginia Woodfin, sisters, they were two siblings. Mm-hmm. So my mother and Virginia Woodfin were sisters. So that puts me first cousin with Bubba Woodfin. And
how is it so many of us on the east side of the county have so many relations all around? It's unbelievable because people used to say the only way you ever got elected because you was kin to most of the people in the county.
I have to admit, I tell people, my family tree doesn't have a whole lot of branches.
Now tell me about that. Did he just throw you? He threw me.
Cousins marrying cousins distantly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got you. Like the Lowrys.
Yeah. Well, that's the old time, too. People marrying who lives close to them.
Yeah.
Pusher Howell used to, a lot of stories there, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, I've got a lot of them myself.
Of course, my bride, 43 years now.
Brenda.
Brenda taught under Pusher Howell in Smyrna.
Oh, wow. I'd like to hear some of those.
And he used to say what a good thing it was that I married her from Chattanooga because she helped the McFarland gene pool tremendously. It needed a lot of help and some fresh blood. And he would say what a good thing she had done.
You know, your granddaddy's old house is still sitting right there on East Main Street.
It is.
And I don't know who lives there, but I miss going over there. It was all farmland at one time. And Bud Mitchell and I would go by and help your granddaddy sometimes in the field over there.
You couldn't outwork him.
No. And he would drive that Packard through the cornfields with corn cobs hitting it and everything else. And, man, I love that. I mean, it's so simple.
Yeah, he would load boys up in that Packard and send them out to work. And I think it was a Mr. Hill here. He used to be an electrical inspector.
Yeah, yeah.
Told me that he was working with him once, but he had to go to court because he'd gotten a speeding. He ran a stop sign. Said, okay, boys, we're going to go up. And it was Judge Rucker was Sessions' judge then. And my granddaddy, as most listeners might know, very, very hard of hearing. So
yes,
he finally called the case, and Mr. Hill was sitting there with the boys. And Mr. Rucker said, now, Mr. Mack, this citation says you ran that stop sign. He was just yelling, you know, so he could hear. Did you do that? And my granddaddy said, well, Judge Rucker, the sign said to stop. It didn't say to stay there. He said, well, okay.
Bingo.
He said, well, okay, Mr. McFarland, you go on and make sure you stop next time.
Oh. Yeah, good thing he wasn't around. David would have thrown him under the jail, I believe. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the great two judges.
I'm Randy Boland, Murfreesboro Outdoors, on Northwest Broad Street between Highway 840 and Thompson Lane. The gun hunting season is open. We stock rifles and shotguns and all the ammo you need for deer hunting. People come to my store from all over Middle Tennessee. Me and my staff treat people the way we would like to be treated when shopping for fishing, hunting, or shooting supplies. I stock fishing lures that are made right here in Middle Tennessee that's just right for our area. Murfreesboro Outdoors. We're open Monday through Saturday from 9 to 6 on Northwest Broad Street between Highway 840 and Thompson Lane.
Where is the best barbecue in town? At 1920 East Main. The best barbecue for miles around is at 1920 East Main. You can buy it by the pound, sandwich, platter, or plate. No matter what you choose, it will taste great. You can come with a friend, by yourself, or with a date. To Slick Pig Barbecue. Barbecue pork, beef, or chicken, Brunswick stew, down home atmosphere, and they cater. Slick Pig Barbecue. It's the best.
Warren Moon, in two words, how'd you get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
My arm.
Barry Sanders?
My legs.
Joe Namath?
My style.
Jerry Rice?
My hands.
And you?
Powerball, baby.
How?
I won a trip for four to the 50th anniversary Ultimate Tailgate Party with over 100 Hall of Famers. Special $10 Powerball purchases are eligible to win.
Visit Powerball.com for details.
Play Powerball with Power Play from the Tennessee Lottery. It's game-changing fun.
Hey, folks, this is Pro Football Hall of Famer Terry Bradshaw. You know, football's my game. But when it comes to having a whole lot of fun for a little dough, America's game is the one and only Powerball. Those jackpots rise faster than a bee-stung stallion. With Powerball Power Play, those non-jackpot winnings can get even bigger. So you ought to jump on it like a duck on a June bug. That means fast for all you city folks out there.
Play Powerball with Power Play from the Tennessee Lottery. It's game-changing fun.
Get to a better State Farm.
Trying to stretch your paycheck a little further than last sometimes it means cutting costs. Why not start with a discount double check? I'm State Farm agent David Wilson, and I can help make sure you're getting the car insurance discounts you deserve. Give me a call today at 893-9898.
Get to a better State Farm.
One in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. I'm State Farm agent Jeannie Allman, and I can help you get to a better state. 896-2013.
Did you know that Sprint now carries the iPhone? This is Melanie Davenport at Sprint by Cellular Concepts. So if you've been tied to your iPhone and another carrier, maybe it's time to shop us. Let us do a bill analysis for you to compare your rates. We have great rates and great devices and local service. We have three great locations, the corner of Main and Middle Tennessee, next to the Boulevard Restaurant, behind Red Robin, next to the hospital, and also in Smyrna in the Target Center on Sam Ridley Parkway. Sprint by Cellular Concepts.
This is Chip Walters, and you're listening to Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station.
Yeah, we got them. MTSU Sports on WGNS, AM, FM, online. The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back with my two good friends, and who just happened to be sitting in a big chair, the judge's chair. You know, when I think back, I know you guys have always heard the old adage, or a saying, or the good old boys. And I've heard that for years and years, but we didn't hear it back when the roots were so strong and you were so close to people. You try to treat everybody fairly no matter what. And I've always had trouble trying to figure out what good old boys was. It seems like when we're talking about the patronage times, when mm-hmm. it was either Democrats or Republicans, or you had to go through somebody like that. But I never considered the things that we did, the good old boy thing, unless you were trying to help somebody all the way down the line when you felt like they deserved some help. And to be perfectly honest with you, I wish those times were still here, don't you guys? I really wish that we weren't so, the hands weren't tied as much as they are now.
Well, there was a time when everybody knew each other. You know, we grew up in Murfreesboro. We all grew up here. And it was a smaller town, and everybody knew each other. You know, people would say, look at me, and they say, they may not know my name. And so that's Ed Cannon's boy. Yeah. So as Ben talked about earlier, everybody sort of knew each other. And but we live in a town now that's grown, and I think we're blessed that a lot of people have adopted our hometown as right. their hometown. And it's just grown so much. A lot of people have moved in here from another state or another town, and you know, they're not familiar with the families. Mm-hmm. And I think that day's sort of come and gone. I mean, Rutherford County is 282,000 people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're the size Nashville was back about, you know, 30, 40 years ago. So we've grown, and we're going to continue to grow.
And in our jobs, we have become associated with people in their worst of times and in their best of times.
That's true.
And I think, you know, that's a blessing, because you work with people that way and you see some of the failings that they have as far as dealing with society and those type things. And we had a lot more room to work with those people back then than you do now. When something happens, it just automatically, you have to follow the guidelines that are set down to you by the state of Tennessee.
Is that, and it's a simple little example. A lot of times when the policeman would pull someone over and catch a young person with a beer or something, mm-hmm. at night they pour it out,
yeah.
and say, "Now I'm going to call your parents."
Yep.
And that would usually kind of fix it. And now they just don't feel like they have that option. They just got to take out citations, and like you're saying, it's kind of a shame you can't do some of that anymore.
And it's carried on even in the schools, law, everything. Just like as things have changed, parents have changed. Parents used to be very supportive of law enforcement, very supportive of their teachers. There were rules to follow. You had structure in your lives. And now it seems like the whole structure process is weakened down. It's very difficult for somebody like us to look at that and accept it.
It is, but what you say is absolutely true. My wife, Brenda, taught 31 years, and she said that she didn't really have a problem with the students. It was some of the parents that weren't backing the teachers.
And I saw it so much when you'd have lax parents come in and I would have their child in my office trying to explain to them what he had done. And they would, in some respects, try to take up for their child. And the child, you could see in their demeanor that they had very little respect for their parents, which is unbelievable.
Embarrassing day for me. I always hated the first parent-teacher night that there would be, because I knew my dad. During that, when, you know, the first parent PTA meeting, you go meet mm-hmm. the teacher, you go up, and my dad would make a point to walk me up to the teacher and say, "Now, if he does wrong, if he needs a paddling, you paddling." Mm-hmm. That was the first thing we did that first night every year all the way through grammar school.
Well, we've run out of time, guys, but we need to take time to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and try to keep that holiday spirit all the way through the year. And just remember, there's a number of us that are out here. We love you, and we want to wish you the best of everything.
And be careful.
Yes.
And thanks for having us. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy New Year.
Yes. We'll leave that on a good note.